Some might wonder, if that is the case, what is he doing and what has been done about this condition? And that brings us to Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, the scripture says, when he brought the firstborn, it's very interesting in there, the text, it says the firstborn. It's almost as if it's a title. When he brought the firstborn, the one who is ranking over all, the one who is sovereign, the one who is the maker of all things, when he brought him into this world, what is the amazing thing that the Creator God, who is over all things, would take the time and in the fullness of time would enter the very world that he made. The incarnation is one of the marvelous truths of the scripture, that the Creator God, the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who spoke all things into being, the one who holds all things together, the one who is the firstborn of creation, would at one point step into that creation. And Hebrews 1 says, when he brought the firstborn into the world, when he brought the firstborn into the world, you know what? This world was so busy, so preoccupied that no one paid attention. No one gave it a notice. We all know the story. They were heading on to the city of David, and there was no room for them in the inn. Here it is, the Son of God being born into this world, coming into this world, God bringing his first begotten. You know what? God would say, you may not pay attention, but I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to send that chorus of angels to declare glory to God in the highest. When he brought his first begotten, this is the greatness of Christ, that he who created all things would stoop to enter the very thing, the very creation that he made. And what the Bible tells us, he came to his own and his own received him not. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Here it is, the Son of God, the Creator of all things, the one who outranks everything, steps into the creation, and the creation doesn't even care, doesn't give an attention. But God gives it attention. He dispatches an angel, and then he dispatches a whole host of angels. And they sing that great song, or say that great, those great words, glory to God in the highest. So what did this Creator do? He saw the rebellion, he saw the rejection, he saw the sin and all that corrupted what he designed and made and purposed, and he stepped into it. Imagine that. You know, if it was you or I, what we would do is we would turn our back and say, well, you're on your own. But not this one. We sang about the Savior's love. He looked and he said, I'm going to step into that situation. I'm going to bring some change. I'm going to effect the change by stepping into that situation. And so he steps into the creation. And the Bible tells us in that, in this text that we've been reading in Colossians chapter 1, that he has done some things. He has made reconciliation by the blood of his cross. When he came into this world, he walked through the scene and he saw the devastating effect of rebellion and of sin. He saw it. He witnessed it. In fact, it brought him to tears at the tomb of Lazarus as he looked and saw what death had brought into this wondrous creation that he made. The true edict that was made in that garden was coming to pass. In the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall dying surely die. And seeing death stamp all over his creation, he walked through it. And often it says his heart was moved with compassion as he saw people who were bound and people who were tied up, people who were under the load and weight of what sin had brought. Are you under the load and the weight of sin? We live in a good day. We live in a safe situation. We don't really know too many hardships, but the reality is what's going on in the inside of your heart. What's going on in the inside where no one can see but God? Are you being burdened by the guilt of your own sin, the guilt of your own rebellion, the guilt of the fact that you are doing things that maybe only you think you know, that nobody else knows? Jesus steps into that situation And he sees the great effect of what sin had brought on his creation. And he does something about it. He goes to the cross and he deals with the root cause of that rebellion. He takes it all on himself. And in taking it all on himself, he is able to bring an effect, a reconciliation. Look at that in chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there are things in earth or things in heaven. And then he goes on to say, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. What did Jesus, the Creator, the one who is the firstborn of all creation, what did he do? He was brought into this scene. And in coming into this scene, he effects a reconciliation. And the only way he could effect a reconciliation is that he can bear on himself all the sin, all the rebellion. He takes it on himself and he would bow under the justice of God. So now he can bring two sides together. But it's only by faith in him. You can't bring your own self. You can't bring anything to make peace with God. You have nothing. So it's through his death, through his dying on Calvary's cross, he answered to what separated us from God. That rebellious condition. He does, takes care of it by the sacrifice of himself. It's a marvelous thing to think of the way the Lord Jesus Christ walked in this scene. He walked in perfection. He did no sin. He knew no sin. In him was no sin. And so he can be the perfect sacrifice. He can be the perfect representative for what it takes to bring reconciliation. That's why he became a man. That's why he took upon him not the form of an angel, but the seed of Abraham. That he might bring and reconcile all those who come to God by faith in him. Have you come? Have you experienced to know the peace of God? Do you know what it means to have peace with God? For if you sit in your seat and you have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not repented of the idea of your rebellion against God, if you have not done that, you're so far away. And the invitation this evening is that you might come, that you might know and have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ willingly takes upon himself everything that was contrary to the holiness of God. And because of his sinlessness, God's justice can be satisfied. And the answer to the edict that was given in Eden, sin brings forth death, he willingly submits his life in death at Calvary's cross. But that's not the story. The story is that he rose again. The story is that his death was so perfect, so answered to the holiness of God that God raised him from the dead. And that brings us to the next reference. It says that now he is the firstborn from among the dead. So obviously, when we think about this word, firstborn, it is not that he was the first one who was raised from the dead, because we know from the Old Testament, there were people who were raised in the Old Testament from the dead. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ himself raised Lazarus, he raised the girl, he raised Peter's mother-in-law. So it's not that he was the first one who was raised from the dead, no.